Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 25th Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy was joined by Dustin and Emily Tuttle for a conversational sermon titled, Give Generously. Here's Carla Lenore with our scripture reading.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, Greystone, and welcome back to our three-part series on stewardship, a series in which we've talked about giving, giving thanks, giving life, and today we're here to talk about giving generously. So we are joined by Emily and Dustin Tuttle, who are generous people, and that's why I invited them to come and to be with us today as we explore this topic of giving generously. So I thought we might begin where we've begun with our other two guests who've been a part of this conversational series and asking about our primary teachers of whatever the topic is today. And so our conversation with Emily and Dustin is going to begin with that same question. So Emily, Dustin, welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here today.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted you to have an opportunity just to tell our church, your church family, about how you learned the lesson of giving generously. Who were your primary teachers, and what do you remember of those early lessons about generosity?
You can start.
Okay, I'll go first. So my primary person who taught me, I believe, is my mother. And I think it started with us going to church and always seeing her every week writing a check for tithe going to church, whether it was as we were driving in the car or while we were sitting in the pews, and just having that conversation and just always seeing her do that. And also when we got an allowance, I remember, you know, we started off getting a dollar, and it was always given to us in dimes and in coins. So that way we could learn, okay, this dime is what you need to put into the offering plate when it's coming past, and this is what you can put to save, and then this is what you can do, the money that you have, to go do and have fun. You can choose what you want to do with it.
That's awesome.
And for me, I think about my grandmother. Even still, she's in her 80s now, but even still, she is always making food for people. I don't know how many times that I can count that, you know, I call her and ask her what she's up to, and she said, oh, you know, I'm just fixing some chicken dumplings or pimento cheese. You know, this person's in the hospital, or somebody just died and I need to send something to the family. And that was the main way that my roommate knew that I had gone home from college, is that she would send back enough food for me to share with friends at college. But yeah, I learned giving from both her and my mom that, and it was expected in my family that you get in there and help, that if, you know, we're fixing something in the kitchen, you're stirring something on the stove, or you're helping putting things in containers, or you're riding with mom to go and deliver something to somebody who's sick or whose family member just died. And, you know, there was a strong connection to the church. You know, the people that they were doing for were their church family, that had supported them when they needed supporting, and so they were there supporting others, and they were very generous with what they did for other people and still are.
I love that. The way that y'all have both described this, generosity seems like it's contagious, you know, like it affects one person and then it continues to affect others kind of down this line. You mentioned your roommate, and then I imagine word got out on the hall that you had home baked goods.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, you know, just thinking about your family members, and you mentioned their church families, You know, I wonder how far back those ripples go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, you talked about money, and I have this visual now of your aunt, I think you said, writing a check. Was it your aunt or your mother?
Mom.
Your mother. Writing a check while she was driving?
Well, she was riding.
Okay.
She was not the driver of the car.
I was going to say, we need to interrupt this program for a disclaimer. Do not write your tithe check while you're driving to work.
Please be safe while you're driving. Yeah. Do not be distracted.
That's right. Hands on the wheel. But, you know, in both stories, when you're talking about giving generously, financially, writing a check, giving online, whatever, or giving generously with your time and talent. So making food for people who need it, who are just going through a rough patch or who are hungry. Those are two very different ways of living your generosity, but they're both deeply rooted in the Christian faith and in that experience of being in a community, a church community. So I wonder, you know, churches and Christianity are both kind of grounded in scripture. And we talked about how those ripples go backwards and forwards when people are kind of set free to be generous. I wonder if there are any pieces of scripture that you remember when you think about generosity, when you remember your mother or your grandmother or for you yourselves, how does scripture kind of reinforce this spiritual practice for you?
You can go first this time.
Okay. Well, some of the things that we had thought about with that kind of, that question were the story of the widow's mite, mm-hmm. the scripture about being a cheerful giver, an inverse example being the story of the rich young ruler who, you know, Jesus told him, you know, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And that would be an extreme level of generosity, and he was not something he was willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just how hard that would have been.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the widow who gave everything that she had.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really interesting kind of framework when you think about those three pieces of scripture that you have identified. You know, we think about the widow and the widow's mite as being a poor woman, right? She only had one mite to offer, and yet she gave.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the rich young ruler who has more mites than he could count, right? More money than he knew what to do with, and yet he couldn't give any of it. So that's those are two extremes. And so we as modern day Christians kind of situate ourselves between those two extremes. And then we have that third piece of scripture that you mentioned just a moment ago, which is our scripture for today. And I wanted to read some of that here. I know we just heard it read in the service a moment ago, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's this piece about how God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. That word abundance really kind of leaps off the page. So that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So to me, and listening to you all and knowing you a little bit, you know, we're in between the widow and the rich young ruler, somewhere right in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
But scripture reminds us that God has given us enough, and not just enough to make ends meet, but in abundance, right? And so we just have to have faith that God will continue to provide. But the call, I think, for us is to give generously out of that faith that tells us that we have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear when I hear your stories. You know, there are so many more stories than we have time to capture today, but just knowing you guys and hearing a little bit about who you are and who God is calling you to be, you know, reading this scripture seems to resonate kind of with how you guys put yourself in that framework between the widow and the rich young ruler. So we've talked a little about your past. We've talked a little bit about scripture and about how that underlines or underscores your understanding of generosity, giving generously. I wonder what God's up to in your life now. How is God teaching you about generosity?
You want to start? Or you want me to?
You can.
Okay. Well, you know, now that we have two boys and one that is becoming very vocal and engaged and watching everything. Yeah.
Watching everything.
Yes. You know, we're thinking about what we do and say and how we're modeling generosity to the both of them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've talked about is when they start coming into service with us, making sure that we switch over to writing a check and putting it in the plate, doing what Emily's mom did, mm-hmm. and making sure that they see that act that we're doing. You know, they won't really understand if we tell them, oh, it's coming out of the bank account. What's a bank account? but they can see us putting it in the plate when they're beside us every week.
Yep. Yeah. And having that be a constant thing that they see us doing, mm-hmm. and not...
It's okay, not just, oh, it's Christmas, so we're going to write a check.
Or, you know, right now we have the money coming out once a month. Right. They'll see us doing it every week, constantly, whenever we're here.
Right. Wow, that's powerful. I love what you just said about not just at Christmas, right? Yeah. And not mm-hmm. just, you know, a lot of us will, and millennials are the worst about this. We'll give a gift when we feel inspired, right? Yeah. Or when we feel motivated, or when somebody does something that we think is really cool. And we'll, you know, we'll put a 20 in the plate. But that's not really what financial stewardship is. It's a discipline and a mm-hmm. rhythm and a sacred commitment that we make with God and our families about how God's calling us forward. So I love it. I love what you just said about it's not just at Christmas. It's every day. It's the ordinary season as well.
Yeah.
And I do have to ask, do you plan to give your children allowance in dimes?
We've not talked about specific.
But probably.
But probably. I would guess so, yeah.
I mean, it's a good... it's a good thing to start learning about money and
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. that things have value and what that is, and to be able to hold it in your hand mm-hmm. and to actually place it somewhere. Yep. It gives it a little bit more significance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a really great idea. I might steal it, but I'll give your mom credit for it. So I wonder also, I'll give you a leading question.
All right.
Okay.
When we were kind of thinking about how we wanted this conversation to go today, we kind of meandered toward legacy. And I wonder if you would be comfortable sharing with the congregation a little bit about kind of how y'all are thinking about legacy and long term, and what kind of impact you want to leave. Not only, I guess, twofold, you'd like to leave an impact and you want to teach your children about that as well. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that journey for you guys right now.
Yeah, we've been planning our wills. Yeah. We're
almost finally getting it signed.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been planning the will since
before
Sean was born.
We've got the basics, but you know, we need something that actually says, "Oh, this is what happens to the children."
That's so a difficult decision.
Yeah. Yes. So we're getting that in place now, and so we've been thinking about how much do we want to leave them? How do we want that to be handled? What do we need to do with the money that we leave behind so that it's a blessing for them? Mm-hmm. And then also, once we feel like they're covered, you know, who do we want to bless and how do we want to be generous with what we leave behind? Mm-hmm. 'Cause we don't feel like we need to leave everything to Sean and Liam, you know, that there are other things that hold our heart as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've talked about one of the places that we want to give is back to our colleges. Mm-hmm.
Felt that it really helped define who we are as people and helped us mm-hmm. grow into mm-hmm. the people we've become.
Yeah.
And want to be able to help pass that on for others too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it holds a very personal connection to us, you know, mm-hmm. like you've talked about with defining who we are and helping us grow. Specifically for me, I've wanted to give back to the scholarship program that I was involved in. And so leaving money and a legacy to them would mean that they're able to continue that work. You know, they were the group that caused me to think critically about what I was doing and what was going on around me, how I'm interacting with things. And that's what helps me as I'm thinking about causes that we want to get involved in, how we want to leave our money. A fellow alum of that program helped to co-found a giving circle that while the monetary amount that each individual gave was fairly small. And I mean, it did, you know, it adds up mm-hmm. for the groups that are impacted. And that giving circle worked really hard to engage experts in subject matter to help the members learn about an issue that's going on, to then allow them to choose a recipient of a grant that might not receive it otherwise, mm-hmm. and specifically a local group that they could get involved with locally, or, you know, intimately, personally. And that's the kind of thing that we want to continue doing, making sure that what we're involved in means something to us. It's not just us writing a check. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how, you know, we feel like Greystone is doing that too.
Oh, yeah. It's a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a church family, and it really is a family. And so, yes, you can write a check and just send it off to someone, but it means more mm-hmm. when you're giving to something where they give back to you as well. And, you know, we're getting this community out of it. And mm-hmm. so we want to help our community do more things and reach more people.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we talked about specifically the refugee mm-hmm. partners that Greystone does ministry with and helps support financially, and also with time. You know, we have church members who are out there helping get apartments set up, and who are helping folks get to and from church, mm-hmm. you know, setting up clinics. And
I think I saw tutoring for kids and helping the children.
Yeah.
And so while we could just make that part of our line item mission budget, you know, it's a connection. It's real people. It's personal.
Yeah. You know, the sermon that we heard last week, the conversational piece, was about giving life. And it was interesting as we heard the stories about mission, which was the intent of the conversation, to talk about how, you know, we as the body of Christ are breathing life into our community. You know, the opposite happens, right? Life is breathed back into us. And I think the same thing happens with our financial gift, with mm-hmm. our financial stewardship, and our kind of movement into more and more generosity as God calls us to be generous people with our time, with our resources, kind of with our whole selves. The more we give, the more is given to us. And so there's a reciprocity to it. And again, just those ripples. It doesn't matter how large or small the gift, to your point about the giving circle. Our generosity has a way of being multiplied when it you know, mashes together with God's love and the community of Christ to create kind of a timeless impact in our communities. And for the people who come here and call this place church, I think that's really, really, really interesting and motivating. You know, I want to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I want to kind of wrap up the conversation today with a shift. We've talked about you guys. We've talked about your past, your present, your future, and the ways that you're thinking about legacy. And that's really profound. I want to name that. But I wonder if you have any insight as to how God might be calling us as a church to become a more generous people, kind of collectively. Do you have any thoughts about that?
One of the things that Emily and I had discussed before was one of the things that Giving Circle group did for me was to challenge me to step outside where I would normally give. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's easy for us to say, okay, we're giving an amount to Greystone because it's, you know, we talked about it's a habit. It's that, mm-hmm. it's that discipline that we've always done, that our families have always done. Yeah. And that's something we do because we hold it close to our hearts, and it's connected to our lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giving Circle made it a purpose to seek out folks who had different knowledge base, who had different life experiences, and then took it upon themselves to be educated by those individuals. They didn't take for granted, oh, I know what you need, kind of thing. You know, they let them be taught. And I think Greystone's in that moment too. That moment of how do we go beyond what we've always done? Mm-hmm. Where do we learn from? How do we seek out the gaps in our knowledge, the people who can be the partners that we can't be, that can help us go where we have never gone, and challenge us to give beyond the monetary, to that time and effort, and really get us to a new place.
Yeah. And going beyond just writing a check, and, you know, time is such a commodity, and it's so hard to, you know, break away and do different things. And so it really speaks volumes, I think, with where you spend your time, because your money, it's something that you can write a check, or you can deposit, and, you know, you can send it in an instant.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go and spend a couple hours doing something, it's bigger.
Wow. That's a really bold call for this church.
Yeah.
It's exciting, and it's really bold, because what I heard you two just call us to is not only is first to expand, right? Is to allow the Spirit of God to stretch us into new relationships that will not relationships where we go and do and tell and, you know, shape things the way that we know how to shape things, but relationships that call us to go forward with an openness. And like, so that we can learn from people who are not like us and who don't think like us and probably who don't engage in mission like we do, right? And then in addition to that, Emily, I heard you call us to give our time of all things.
Oh, I know. And I'm bad for it. Just there is so much going on that it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to give your time.
Yeah. Even in a pandemic.
Even in a pandemic.
Maybe especially in a pandemic.
Especially, right, right, right. Well, I have been encouraged, and I've learned so much tonight. Actually, I should probably say this morning, because it's Sunday morning, right? So I want to thank you for joining us for this conversation, and thank you for continuing to call each and every one of us, individually and collectively as a church, to become more generous people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.